hello. It's time for Catalog and Cocktails, your honest, no BS, non-salesy conversation about enterprise data management with as many cocktails as possible in hand.
There we go.
I'm Tim. Hey, Juan, how you doing?
6 years, my friend. 6 years.
I can't believe it. Where are you right now? You're not in Austin right now, right?
Just traveling around the world. Traveling around the world. Next week,
you spend more time not in Austin, I think, than in Austin.
Yeah. So next week I'll be in San Francisco. but yeah, here we are. What are you drinking, man?
I'm drinking a. It's very close to a Negroni, but instead of being, you know, usually a Negroni is 111, right? And in this, what I did is I the Campari. I did half Campari, half Amaro Nonino. So it just like
I need to do
it softens it a little bit.
So I have. Drinking? All right, again, look into my what's in my bar. This is a Smirnoff Spicy Tamarind Vodka. So those who have listened before, you can probably guess where I am if I'm drinking that. And then with Liquor 43, and then also a dry vermouth. So it's a kind of a spicy Spanish martini is what ChatGPT told me.
Spicy Spanish martini. You like it? Tastes good?
Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
Nice. Ooh.
All right. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Happy 6 years.
To another great season.
Another great season. This is our numbers are off, but this was, I think, season 11 is what we're calling it. And then.
Yeah, because at one point we started counting each year as two seasons. Like we would, fall is a season and then like spring is a season. So then we always take off for the winter and we take off for the summer.
And then So we want to do like a recap on stuff. But, anyways, what's on your mind? 2026 is we're halfway through it. We've had a bunch of amazing guests, but yeah, what's on your mind? Let's rant a little bit.
Well, first of all, we had some amazing guests this season. I think I was just very, you know, I was starting to look through all the guests that we had, and just looking at all the names, you know, of folks that we got to chat with, you know, from Tony and Matt to Victoria to Jenna and Amalia to on and on and on. Like, we just had so many good conversations. So one thing that's very top of mind is I continue to feel every day very blessed and happy to be in the market and in the space and interacting with the community that we get to interact with, because just the quality of the people, the quality of the conversations, the quality of the thinking going on right now is just so high, and it's exciting to be a part of that with you, Juan. We get to talk to some cool folks.
Let's create the list here that we did. So we had Tony Bear, Matt Housley, Oscar Corcho, Irina Steenbeck, Juan Goricho, Vaihab Gupta, Nachiket Mehta, Sadie Haveri, Thais Cook, Kira Dotson, Kyle Winterbottom, Pete Williams, Jenna Jordan, Amalia Child, Diana Wood David, Victoria Gamerman, Bob Siner, Jason Dorr, Jesus Barraza on one of our rant sessions.
On one of our rants,
we touched everything from data catalog, data governance to decision intelligence to AI governance and data lineage and ontologies and trends and data leaderships and like what's our CDOs talking about. Obviously AI is spread across everything. And so this is what I really love about, we've had this opportunity to go talk to so many people. Now I'll tell you what's on my mind right now. Just, I've been on the road I'm always on the road, but actually like I was at our knowledge conference just recently, and then at Gartner London. And then I did this tour kind of through Europe last week, and everybody's still in the basics. Everybody's talking about context is the most popular thing, the right semantics, ontologies, and love. But wow, people are still in the early in on the basics. So I think as the reminder is that we need to get out of our bubble to really understand like where people are today. We know where we want to go. And that's why I think the foundational stuff of like just understanding what is the business value we're connecting, right? What is the, and having like the basic things we need to go do, like just know what data we have and all that stuff. Like people are still kind of in the very early stages. And I think you see things on LinkedIn and you read things and you read all the blog posts and stuff and you see all this cool stuff. But if you like, I've been talking to 100 different people in the last couple of weeks. And it's very clear that the maturity level is pretty low. And that's not to say anything negative about what's happening with what people are doing. It's like, there's just so much stuff and we got to start somewhere. And just, and I think we understand where the destination is, where the vision is. But what really, I think one of the things that we really need to focus on is I know this is going to sound like a lot of marketing, blah, 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 but like a maturity model, a maturity curve. Like, I think that's one of the stuff that we really need to ground into the reality. And my main grounded reality is like, here are the couple of things that you can do, small things that you can do today that is going to elevate you. And one of the things I'll never forget from Juan Garicho said is like, you got to just do this in slices. Right? That's a little bit of a taxi you want to go do, and you're going to go do this in slices. So that's for me, like the thing that's on top of one of the most important things at the top of mind for me.
I think that's well said. You know, something what you just went through there, kind of your breakdown of that, it makes me a little worried and a little afraid for the industry right now, because, you know, a few years ago, we're talking about laying foundations, right? We're talking about you need to have quality data. You need to have data fluency. Maybe we said data literacy back then, right? But now it's data fluency, right? But people need to participate around data. We said it's people, process, and technology, right? Don't boil the ocean, right? 3 years ago. And you know what? We were saying it 3 years before that. And you know what? We were saying it 3 years before that. And you know what? We were saying it 3 years before that. And so every year is the year of foundations. You know, it's funny, you go to the Gartner conference every year, right? And every year they go up on the keynote stage and they say, you need to have high quality data. You need to have your foundation. You know, and that's going to unlock, you know, maybe 10 years ago, it was like we're trying to unlock self-service AI or self-service BI and data-driven culture. Now it's we're trying to unlock AI, right? So, you know, it's fascinating and a little worrying to me that we haven't yet claimed victory on those foundations. And I think for everybody who's listening, and you know, you can look at any of our episodes, they will give you like a freaking like fitness gym on like ideas of how you can properly set your foundation. We need to make some progress on that, and it needs to stick, right? It needs to really stick.
And but we have been making progress, but I think it's that like is in a way the goalpost moves, and it's like, and that goalpost moving is the hype. So we are making progress, but then it's not like, by the way, it's not like the goalpost like just moves further away. Like it's it is probably in the same direction, but maybe just, oh, now it's not in front of you, but it's above you, or it's on the side a little bit. And I'm like, wait, hold on. But so we were to start chasing the next thing. And I'm like, the foundation stuff, and like, where are we heading? Now, the second thing that's really top of mind, and everything in from all the conversations we've had on the podcast and also with customers and stuff, is that we need to understand that the destination is not just about creating data and creating AI ready data and creating context. And having well-governed data, like that is not the destination. That is a means to the end. And this is why I've been talking so much about we should really kind of refocus for this work at the center and so forth. But actually, what I mean that, work needs to be at the center, it's really about, we need to get people who work in the analytics world, in the data analytics world, and people who work in the operational world, and they need to sit together at the same table. And this is people who are running quote unquote your back office of your business. And then the analytics is like, wait, how are we putting together so we can do more of our better work? And part of that, something maybe less back office, but more revenue generation. Like you're talking to your sales teams, right? To your marketing teams and stuff. Like, how do we get to doing operational stuff day to day in your data analytics teams? Let's sit them at the same table. And that is something that is still lacking. And honestly, I feel very lucky. Like I've written about this before, but like I've gotten out of my data analytics bubble while being at ServiceNow, and I'm just interacting with so many people on the operational side. And I've actually now had the opportunity to facilitate these conversations of saying, hey, you two don't talk to each other. Let's kind of sit down. And it's just like, oh yeah, that's interesting. We should talk more. We should talk more. Like that is what's missing. And I feel that we're heading there. We're seeing more of that. But like that's my big call out for everybody right now.
Yeah. Well, and going back to what you said just at the beginning of that, I do think you're right that the bar keeps on changing, right? Like, and we start to make progress towards something, right? Like data enablement within the organization, and then AI hits, right? And now all of a sudden we have to somehow make our AI foundations ready for all these things we want to do with AI, right? So now it's not just about data governance, right? Like, for example, we talked to Victoria Gammerman and we talked to Kara Dodson, and I feel like it came up in a couple other conversations. Now it's not just data governance, it's AI governance, right? And now you got to think about how that fits in, and can you use the same committees, or do they have to be different committees? Can you use the same policies? Are they different policies? But do I even get more budget? Do I get to hire more people now that AI governance is part of my mandate? Right. So, you know, the scope is increasing. I think that's a big aspect. And the change management required is increasing, right? Because now it's not just about the dashboard. It's about the conversational interface. It's about the apps that are being built. It's about the GPTs being customized. So, you know, we talked to, Bob Siner, for example, and he talked about how literally 1/3 of the data catalyst equation is change management, and how critical that's now becoming, where it's not just about laying the data foundation anymore. It's about actually enacting change in the organization. And I'll connect that to what you're saying about bridging with the operational side of the business, right? Because we don't get to live in our analytics bubble if we really want to make an impact and a change in the organization. We have to reach out and connect and work hand in hand with the line of business.
The change management is one of those things. That, I mean, Bob Siner brought it up really nicely in the chat that we had. And actually, there's, I'm looking up in our notes here, right? His formula, right? There's like well, the three C's right there.
The data catalyst cubed, right?
And if one of these things is not there, then it all multiplies at zero, right?
Yeah.
So the change management is one of the most underinvested pieces right now. Right? Yep. So, or just, you found it right.
I see where I'm going. I bolted it for you there. Data governance plus change management plus, or no, I'm sorry, times, right?
Times, yeah.
Data governance times change management times data fluency.
Exactly. So if you don't have any of that stuff, then you're actually not making the changes you do with data. And by the way, the change management piece, right? That's not just about the data analytics. That's also kind of how this is all getting connected with the operational side of the world. And actually, when it recently at Gartner, one of the presentations I saw, which kind of really clicked for me, was like, there's all this, we call it data governance in the analytics world, but there's quote unquote operational governance, more on like every side of the business is doing it. And they don't call it governance, but they're still doing those types of things, right? The same thing happens with AI governance, right? So there's like this governance part is just growing. It's going to get bigger and bigger. So this is why it's so important right now. But now this is where we need to really think about it. It's like, okay, how is this being governed today? And I think one of the, I wrote this in a recent piece is, I want to challenge people. I want people, like, homework is do the life in a piece of data. So follow a salesperson writes something in their CRM. Okay, let's go follow that, right? And let's go follow that opportunity. So they added an opportunity inside of their CRM. Where does that all go flow on that system? How does that land? Where does that go? And it ends up in your, both of these systems, and all these people touch it, and all these changes occur, and it lands in your data warehouse, in your data lake. Analytics get built on this stuff that somebody again is looking at that stuff, and then that other person is making a decision. Or just let's go follow that piece of it. I think that would be a fascinating experiment and experience we'd have to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And it's different than just like data lineage, where you're just looking at like data transformation and things like that. You're talking about like truly, you know, how does data, what is the data life cycle?
That's exactly, that's the data life cycle. And it is, in a way, it's also data lineage, but it's not just the data lineage that we see it from a data analytics perspective. It's the lineage and the life cycle of that data across the entire organization, and not just technical. Oh, it moved from this system to this system, but there's also, there are these people who touch it for some for what reasons. They make changes for it manually, whatever, mm-hmm. and they're looking at it for what reasons, right? And what decisions are they making out of that that may not be documented? Like, that's something we should go follow. I mean, and all these decisions that people are making, and this goes back into decision traces and all this context graph and all that type of stuff. Like, that's the really stuff that we should be go following. And also, at the end of the day, we want to be able to kind of understand what these, what are these business processes and how they do that. Because later on, that's what you understand. It's like, oh, wait, that wasn't efficient. Like, why did we have to go do that? Maybe that's stuff that we can go improve. I think that's kind of that first map that we want to go understand.
Yep, agreed. Well, and you mentioned data, right? And we got Chris here leaving a nice little comment. Knowledge lineage. You just mentioned about knowledge and context, right? And I think that was another key theme that I think we heard a lot in these episodes was around how data people are starting to think about kind of knowledge and context and semantics and ontologies in a more direct way, and of course needing to understand the life cycle and the lineage of those types of aspects in our organization, which are probably more wild, wild west than even our data is.
This is why I'm really excited of knowledge, what I've been talking about, has now getting the spotlight, what I think it deserves. But then also I'm like, but wait, let's pause, because it's not the end goal either. Let's not forget, right? It's it's another means to an end. So that's the important, because I mean, I also wrote this as like, we were talking about, well, we live in this data first world. We should move to a knowledge first world. We should, but let's not forget that it's not the only thing. And I think mm-hmm. this is the means to the end.
Yeah. And then but it's good that we're talking about those means, right? There's Bob Siner on here right now. Data catalyst cubed, data governance times change management times data fluency. And if one of those are zero, the whole thing goes to zero.
And it's not invasive data governance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what else is on your mind?
Just keeping on going on with knowledge, semantics, context, two things. One is, and this is a little bit more of a broader thematic than necessarily a specific, although in our sessions, even though I think it came up a few times. Obviously, context is the word of 2026, so that comes up over and over again.
How many people have? Many people are now shifting into that. Here's the honest OBS: everybody's now a semantic expert and getting to a context expert, and everybody's now.
Yeah, every company is a context layer, right?
Context layer, platform, system, engine.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting, you know.
It is exciting.
We're talking about the next thing up, which is good. I mean, Juan, you've been talking about knowledge and context for a long time, which is fun. And I've been talking about context wars, right? That that we're going to get into a future where everybody wants to own the context, right? Every vendor is like, oh, we're your context layer. And like, boom, here we are. 2026 is the year of the context wars.
We should go find this because we have all the evidence. We'll go find the first time we talked about context wars. I'm really excited. All right,
I'm trying to remember when it was. I feel like it was maybe 2024 or something like that. A couple of years ago.
Probably earlier.
Okay.
We should have this transcript.
We should try to find the lineage of that. Because I remember we talked about knowledge first. That was kind of a big thing. And then context wars was after that. But I think that's obviously that's exciting that everybody's talking about context. You know what else everyone's talking about? Ontologies.
That is true. And that's a big episode, an important episode. The one with Oscar Corcho, he is the guy, the reason why I got in inside of everything I do. He was the person who introduced me to semantic web. That's 2005 now. So that's a great episode about kind of diving into the old school reality of ontologies. So
yeah, and that ontologies aren't new, right? So learn your history, not to you know be pedantic or anything like that, but because there's a lot to learn from history, right? What went well, what didn't go well, and the best practices and so on.
And another follow-up on that is like the episode we did with Nachiket Mehta. Like he's had he has been somebody who's done so much experience on like implementing ontologies and knowledge graphs inside the organization and had so much success around this stuff. It's like, that's a big example. If you want to like hear the conversation directly from a data leader who has done this and talk about the amount of money, the tens of millions of dollars sold because of how his investments within semantics and knowledge graph, that's an excellent episode to go listen to right there.
Yep, agreed.
All right, Tim, what are we gonna do next? I don't know. We're just kind of winging it here because people want to go listen to the episodes. Like, listen to all these episodes. These are all fantastic. These are all fantastic people we have. It's really hard to kind of we can't do good service to like talking about everybody because there's like so much stuff. We end up talking so many hours about everybody we've spoken about. So
yeah,
let's talk about what's next. What's on your mind about what should we be doing next? Not just for the podcast, but also just in general for the industry.
That's a good question. You know, I think one thing that's very top of mind for me, and I wonder if we can find some guests that can actually go into this so that we can kind of dig into it together. I want to see more examples, public examples of folks putting not just AI into production, because I think we're seeing a pretty strong wave of AI going into production, right? Of around, you know, obviously productivity-based applications, but also starting to use it for customer service, for, you know, sales opportunities, for, you're seeing a lot of different kind of vertical applications of AI now. But in use cases where some of the non-determinism is okay, right? I think those are the use cases that we're especially seeing in production now, right? Where it can be a little fuzzy, it can be a little off. I want to see more examples of folks really doing knowledge and context management at scale, incorporated into their AI applications that are in production. And I'm sure there's folks out there, I'm sure some of you listening probably know of some of these folks that have started to roll out not just, you know, kind of basic generative AI applications, but like really deeply embedding context and knowledge in those applications. I want to bring more of those stories to light. So that's one thing that's very top of mind to me.
That's good. I like the bringing things to production, and I want them is not just an application or a use case in production, but it's like doing this at scale, like how we're able to, we have the foundation, and how not with this foundation we were able to get all of these multiple use cases one after the other one because it's leveraging the foundation.
Right.
That's one I'd love to go. So people listening, if you have good use cases or kind of examples to do this, like please shout out.
Part of that can be, you know, Bob mentioned, you know, context catalogs is just kind of an offhand comment here. I mean, one of those things is, you know, incorporating your catalog and your governance into, you know, we've got some customers that are starting to do that. I know there's probably some other people in the industry that are starting to see that, where you're actually tying the context that's in your catalog or creating a catalog specifically around context and incorporating that into your AI applications.
What I want to hear more is about change management. Hmm. Because that's a topic that has come up a lot. I mean, with Bob Steiner, But I think it's something that we're missing in our industry. We talk about it. We know we need it, but I haven't met people who can talk like very heavily, very they've actually been able to can share their experiences of what works and what doesn't work, in what type of organizations, the different cultures about how we do this change management. Like, I think that's something that we really need to go learn more. I personally need to learn more. And I think that's something that would be very, very valuable.
Yeah, no, I think that was good. And, you know, kind of related to that, you know, I think we had a couple of good episodes this season, you know, from Kyle Winterbottom and from Pete Williams, for example, where it talked about how a lot of times there's these like board or leadership mandates which force certain behaviors. And I think related to change management is also like, how do you manage the board? How do you manage leadership to create an environment where you can be more successful with your data strategy? And so, you know, kind of, I think a couple more episodes and guests that can dive into that topic, you know, I think would be great as well.
Another one is, I'm actually looking at kind of our notes here. Victoria Gutterman suggested we should invite, who should we invite next? Someone who has used AI to extract knowledge in these invisible processes. I think so. If we wanted to be able to kind of also like thinking about how to connect the whole analytic world and the operational world, we want to talk about decision traces and context. All that, like, how are we how is that being managed, and how are we extracting that, kind of formalizing all of that knowledge, all that business process knowledge? So people who are working on this, I think that would be fascinating, because I want to be, how do we tap into people's heads and catalog what are they doing, all that tacit knowledge? People have been actually trying to do all this stuff. So that's another one for sure.
Yeah.
Chris, it's been a while. We didn't need to catch up.
Yeah. There's a few folks that we chatted with on episodes a few years ago that I think have done a lot of cool stuff, and we need to catch up.
Yeah, Chris, I was in London and you didn't reach out to me. I'm kind of sad.
That's a live guilt trip there.
Here's another one. Organization design development and change management, for sure. Yeah, that's the one thing. Also, that whole organizational design, that's another interesting topic. Is we've talked about how people are doing kind of centralized, decentralized, federated, embedded teams. How are things changing now with AI? So we're talking about, oh, everybody's gonna be a manager of their AI agents, and like, we're seeing a lot of layoffs happening. We're going to do all these changes. Like, I'm very curious to know what is like the current organizational structure that's happening. That's another interesting topic. I'd love to kind of dive into more.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, you know, I've been seeing a lot of, you know, social media and articles of people talking about like when AI starts to come in and become a part of, you know, let's even just focus on software engineers for a second, right? If it starts to become a major part of how you're developing software, how does that affect org structures too, right? Like, for example, do you need less management hierarchy? Do you need, you know, can you have, you know, one engineer, you know, or, you know, can you have a lot of engineers per product manager? You know, anyways, it's interesting to think about like what changes, you know, can organizations get flatter? Can you have less of a certain role? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's exactly the thing. By the way, I see Shahar commented here. Why learn from history when you can just repeat the same mistakes again and again? Right, be fun. Shahar,
no.
Out because I was last week or whatever, I forget, 2 weeks ago, and he invited me to his new, I forget the name, helicopter podcast.
Oh my God, I saw the picture of you.
My God, I can't wait for you. Anyway, he just texted me right now. He's like, oh, I can speak about change management. And Shahar is somebody we've been wanting to have in the podcast. So perfect. We got our change management topic coming up soon. Shahar, thank you so much. Excited for that. Excited. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on the podcast, in the helicopter, because you changed my life with that. It was such an amazing, life-changing day and event for me. And I can't wait to listen to that podcast. So, but it was just, wow, it's just crazy that we're talking about data, and then I'm like looking over at the world like this stuff, and like, wow. Anyways,
how do you get the microphone to work? Is it just a really good like noise?
Noise canceling. And then the cool thing is that I had a helicopter lesson afterwards, and I'm like, how the heck can you have to think and not think about this stuff, and like, how the heck is he doing this and like having this conversation? But anyways,
have you ever seen the I forget if it's a podcast or if it's just video clips, the subway takes, that guy Kareem who like rides on the New York subway, and he always has like celebrities with him and stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know if anybody's listening who knows about Kareem Rama, and he does these, and he always has like a celebrity with them. And I don't know, just like the idea of like you're riding a helicopter, you're riding the subway, you're like, I don't know, it's just kind of a fun idea.
I'm looking at Shahar's now commenting. He says, my friend is a director in big tech company. He told me, Shahar, I built AI agents that ask my team for status updates on their project so they don't forget to send it. And then I said, you realize that your team has agents responding to your agents and nobody knows what's actually happening, right?
Do you know what that's called? It's called bullshit fabric.
Thanks, you, my friend, Jar. Really excited. Thank you for changing my life that day. All right. What? Okay. Anything else, or are we just now rambling here?
What else? Did we forget anything? Any other major topics we should call out to?
All right. Well, folks listening, here's another thing. For those who are listening, we've been doing this for 6 years, and people ask us, like, why? Actually, in January, I was with Joe Reese, and Joe's like, you guys should just stop the podcast. I'm like, just do something else. And I'm like, yeah, got me thinking.
I've actually told that to a few people. I was like, you know, we've known this for 6 years. Maybe it's time for us to do something different. And every single person has told me, why? Like, why would you stop?
Well, exactly. It's time, like, I wonder about this. And I'm like, I don't know. We just have fun. And this is not, we have no, we keep it super simple. And keep
yeah,
it
there's real. Always more cocktails and there's always more stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah. So I wonder what else. So people want to have any ideas what we should go do. And one thing I would like to go do, for example, is maybe some panels or have two guests at the same time. Or
yeah. Can we change the format maybe a little bit and mix it up a little bit?
Yeah. So folks have any comments, thoughts about that stuff, please. And also, if you want to be on the podcast, let us know. We get a lot of requests. And folks listening, I'm sorry for some people. It's like a lot of PR firms, like, oh, you should have this person. And like, I'm like, maybe, but I really want to kind of have people that we really know, part of the community. Sorry. So, folks who are listening, who've been listening for a while, if you really want to be part, just reach out to us. We'd really want to. I mean, we keep doing this because we have thousands of people who listen to us every single week. It's amazing. Thank you. So thank you for everybody who's listening. I know there's a handful of people who are listening, watching us live right now. You are all amazing. Like, I speak for myself, but I'm sure for you too, Tim, is like, we're super freaking lucky to have you've elevated our own status here too. You've elevated our own ego. Thank you, because I will not deny that. Honest OPS is great. It feels awesome. It feels awesome to go out at conferences and people like look at you and want to take a picture with you. Like, that's super cool.
Well, it's hard to believe that, you know, this all started with just turning on Zoom and hanging out with some friends.
In a pandemic.
During a pandemic. Yeah. Well, that part was a little unique.
But I guess, thank you, pandemic.
Yeah. Juan, you got any good plans for this summer?
More travel.
Yeah.
More work travel.
Snowflake, Databricks.
So June, all right, just quick June, I'll be in Snowflake Summit, and then I'll be at Databricks, and then I'll be in Guadalajara, Mexico. So that's June. Something will happen in July, something in August. I'll plan to be at Big Data London in September. So things will happen, but and I will take time off and just be with disconnect. So we also need to figure out when we're going to restart the podcast. We'll probably do some rant sessions in the middle meantime.
Yeah, we'll keep it fresh, keep it exciting. For me, I have a little less travel this summer. Usually I'm road warrioring with you too, but I'm traveling a little less this summer, and I'm actually focused on trying to move into my new house. You're going to see some different background behind me soon as I move into my new office. So stay tuned on that.
All right. Tim, 6 years, which is, and I think that means that we've officially been working for almost seven.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a pleasure to do this with you. And I think it's just a natural thing. I expect us to do this every week, and everybody listening. So thank you to everybody listening, to all our amazing guests, and to you, my friend. Cheers.
Yes. Cheers, Juan. And cheers, everyone. Have a great summer. Cheers.
We'll still be around. We'll be follow us on LinkedIn, see us at conferences, and we'll be doing some brand sessions.
Let's keep the conversation going.
Cheers.
Cheers.